This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back to Outspoken. Now, I for one am absolutely sweltering in this room. It is the first 32 degree day for spring at the moment and it is boiling hot in here.
Let me paint the picture for you. Sophie is sitting in shorts that are so short I can barely see them in a singlet. But then we've got Amy on the other side of the room that I think you've got something quite wrong with you because you're in full jumper and leggings. So I don't know what's going on.
I'm not really feeling the heat today.
I pleaded for to turn the bloody air conditioner on, but apparently that's not happening at the moment.
Yes, well, I think we're very lucky in Adelaide to have such good weather, but I think it's back to like 18 degrees tomorrow. So
to hoodie weather.
Yeah. Well, talking about Adelaide and how small it is, for those who don't live in Adelaide, basically everyone knows each other. It's like a big country town. And I was at a house inspection and we brought mum and dad down to check out the house to tell us what was wrong with it, basically. And funnily enough, mum recognized the real estate agent because a couple of months ago, the neighbors to mum and dad sold their house and mum went over for a nosy look, which I think we did talk about on the podcast.
We did address it.
And the real estate agent called her nosy because she refused to put her name down.
No, I believe he called her Mrs. Nosy.
Yeah, so she got really offended. So when I realized this connection, I was like, oh no, because we were actually really interested in the house. But fortunately, I don't think he realized it was Mrs. Nosy.
Well, talking about houses, Sophie, our Facebook community was shocked to actually discover that the haggle dump that you referred to in our last episode is actually a real place. You weren't actually calling the shop a dump. The place
that's
you
its legitimate your name.
Yeah, that's its legitimate name.
It is its legitimate name. And I do have a recommendation for people who are looking for a bit of a bargain. So we moved on from haggle dump because we couldn't actually afford anything, ironically, there. So instead, we found this really cool shop. It was advertising on Marketplace and it's like a pop-up shop and they sell furniture that has been used in display homes or to sell homes. Oh my God, I just got the biggest bargain delivered to our house. It's this buffet side table. I'll put it in the group for you guys to check it out. And it was only $150. It's incredible. It's funny because my boyfriend Brandon was like, don't tell anyone about it because it's like our little spot. So now I'm like broadcasting on our podcast.
God, we better get down there quick then. I want to get some stuff from there.
Now, Amy, I feel like you've got to fill everyone in because you've completely changed your look. I'm sitting here next to two brunettes now. Thank God I'm the different one again.
Yes, I've gone brunette and I'm actually loving it.
Well, my dad thought you were redhead last
Yeah, I was going to say the only downside was my dad's pure honesty saying he thought I'd gone ginger.
Well, not that there's anything wrong with it, but that's not what the look you were going for, was it?
But it's actually not.
Come on, we're going to have the girl of The Bachelor is going to come at you, Amy, for that. That ginger discrimination.
I don't have an issue with it at all, but this hair is brown. Anyway.
Well, it's not as brown as mine. I think it's like an in-between tone.
Well, my
it's
dad,
like a bronze kind of color.
My dad also told me that my regrowth needed to be done. So it was a Father's Day of complete honesty there.
He's lucky, decided to take his present back at that point.
He's lucky he said that on Father's Day. You know what I mean? I feel like he could get away with it, but not any other day.
Realize that the news will be talking about us every day. And every family in this country will be wondering, what are they doing? What else will they be thinking? Those motherfuckers, I wish I had thought of that first.
Let's get into our first topic. The Queensland government has been slammed over claims of preferential treatment of AFL executives after Brisbane was awarded the rights to host the AFL Grand Final. It appears there is one rule for celebrities and another for the sick and needy. Kate, can you tell us exactly what happened last week?
Well, footage emerged of what was actually going on in hotel quarantine in Queensland. So 400 AFL officials, administration staff, and also families came across to the Gold Coast off the back of the announcement that Brisbane will host the grand final. Now, it was footage of people basically not keeping their distance. They were swimming in the pool. They were sunbaking. Apparently they are allowed to also play golf. So basically living it up in paradise while everyone else who would like to enter Queensland either cannot or is stuck in a hotel room for 14 days.
Well, they're actually calling it luxury and lockdown, which I thought was pretty hilarious.
Well, I really felt for the people in Melbourne who would be watching this on their TV screens thinking, well, I would actually love to get away to the Gold Coast and be living it up in a luxury hotel rather than sitting in my house all day.
It's not even a hotel, it's a resort.
Yeah, well, looking at that drone vision that emerged, it is just so evident that it's such a world away from the experiences that people who are generally trying to get into Queensland are experiencing. You know, we're seeing people who have had serious surgeries not being allowed to recover at home and instead have this torturous 2 weeks in a tiny hotel room.
Well, I think the most shocking for me was hearing about a pregnant woman, and she was pregnant with twins, and she needed to go to a hospital for an emergency because one of the twins wasn't doing too well. And instead of going to Brisbane, which was closer because she was on the New South Wales northern border, she couldn't get into Brisbane because there was too much confusion about what she could do. So they flew her to Sydney, and one of the twins sadly ended up passing away.
That is so horrible. And it's so sad how many stories there are like this. There was also a grandmother who's 60 years old. She had 2 brain tumors removed from her brain, and she requested an exemption from the hotel quarantine to isolate at home. That was refused. So she's in a small hotel room with no support. It's just disgusting what is going on at the moment.
And just to be clear, the players' wives and girlfriends and their children, they have been given an exemption to come into Queensland and to stay in this resort.
Well, just to clarify, so for those people that aren't aware of Queensland's border restrictions, people who have been in a COVID-19 hotspot within the last 14 days will be turned away at their border. This applies to everyone who has been in a COVID-19 hotspot in the past 14 days, except people needed in Queensland for essential activities. Queensland residents who have been in a COVID hotspot can return home but will be required to quarantine in government-provided accommodation at their own expense. So currently, Victoria, New South Wales and the ACT are all considered COVID-19 hotspots. So all the people that entered with the AFL from Victoria are from a hotspot. So, you know, the government is classing their activity as essential, which is quite shocking. But it really does play into the fact, well, money speaks, doesn't it?
Yeah. But I think, and what is so disturbing is that while, yes, these people have to quarantine in a hotel for 14 days, they don't have to stick to the regular rules that normal people do. They're allowed to go out to the pool. They're allowed to do activities. They're allowed to socialize with the other people in the resort, which I find utterly disgusting.
Well, it was quite humorous because Eddie Maguire came out recently after all the backlash of this drone vision of the resort, and he said that, Gil McLachlan, the CEO of the AFL, he's not happy about it. He's gone down and he's bought a 1.5 meter pole. He's put it down near the pool to show everybody how far apart they should be. And I just thought,
because I'm sure that the virus wouldn't be transmitted through the pool water.
No, not at all.
It was quite interesting. The Queensland Health Officer Jeanette Young came out and sort of to defend this. She said, "This event is an important event and it needs to be put on under a COVID safe plan," which has happened. All of them are going into hotel quarantine. The AFL has stood up a hotel to do that and they are managing that. So it's not an impost on us. Now, I'm sorry, but this is making alarm bells ring for me. We've seen what's happened in Melbourne when they put inexperienced security guards in charge of their hotel quarantine. So you are actually allowing a corporation to take care of quarantining these people. This is putting Queenslanders' lives at risk.
And we're letting a huge business who all they care about is money. We're letting them control what's happening in the community.
But as Kate said before, money clearly talks, because the reason that the Queensland government are allowing this is because of the return they're going to get. You know, people are going to go out to their restaurants, there's business is going to be booming. And there's also talk that the Premier, Anastasia Palaszczuk, she's doing it so she gets re-elected.
Well, that's really not surprising. The thing that is incredibly disturbing is that the AFL is reportedly spending up to $3 million a week to house these AFL players and their families in these luxury locations.
It's actually just so disturbing, and it kind of shows what a boys' club the AFL is. Talking about Anastasia, she has come out defending her actions, obviously, as you're going to. She said that people are basically singling them out because they won the rights for the AFL grand final, and she said that if any other state had, you know, been selected, they would be doing the same thing. She then reiterated that this is a national agreement agreed by the National Cabinet and health professionals, but then she did go in to say the economic benefit to Queensland is enormous.
I'm sorry, I actually completely disagree with what she's saying. I mean, obviously we're from South Australia, and South Australia did bid to get the AFL grand final here. We have been so conservative as a state and so careful about sticking to these restrictions, I do not think we would have allowed this to happen.
Well, that's the thing, though. They have been very conservative in their approach. Their border control is, you know, to the point where it's actually affecting people that are traveling for medical issues. So that's a weird thing, that they're being so tough on who comes in, but then they're allowing the AFL to come in and do whatever they want. It doesn't match up. It's very hypocritical.
Do you think the fact that it is in a tropical location, it is angering people more?
Well, it just looks like they're on holiday. Yeah. And I think a lot of people would love to be on holiday in a Gold Coast resort. But unfortunately, a lot of people are locked in their houses or their movements are restricted.
Do you know what was really cheeky? The Daily Mail, of course, have been doing numerous articles on this, and they chose to source photos of the WAGs from different Bali holidays they'd been in to include them in bathers. So it looked like, you know, if you were just skimming through the article, you'd be like, these bastards are just relaxing by the pool with drinks. But they weren't even photos from their actual trip.
Mm. That makes me think, I wonder what the social media protocol is over there, because it would be the last thing that they would want if those sorts of images of them sunbaking in the pool were out and about. At my job, when I used to work at the 36ers, it was my role to come up with a social media policy.
I'm sure they would have that in place.
I feel like there would be a lot of work going on behind the scenes to keep this secret.
Well, I'm guessing they've been told to stay off social media because, of course, Trent Cotchin, who is the Richmond captain, his wife got in trouble and she subsequently got the club fined $50,000 after she posted a photo of herself at a day spa.
Yeah, well, it was actually downgraded to $25,000. Oh. But yeah, it was, I wouldn't think he would have been too popular. I did hear a rumor that is circulating in the news at the moment that it was at that point where Trent and Brooke, his wife, were actually going to leave the hub because they were so annoyed that everything that went on with them getting sort of publicly shamed and fined.
We should probably dive into some of the luxuries. I mean, you've touched on a few of them before, but the luxuries that the AFL has revealed that the players are receiving at the moment and some of the demands that the WAGs have been making during their time in the hub. So
I would like to hear this.
So basically, each team is supposed to be separate from the others within their respective hubs. So there is a games room where players can play PlayStation because that's completely essential. There's a physio, separate gyms, aquatic center, a barista that operates daily to serve coffee, as well as a rugby field that, of course, has AFL posts. There's also cars available to players to leave the hubs, with two people only allowed in a car at one time. I wonder how often that is being stuck to.
It's quite interesting because, as I've said, I've worked in professional sport before and I've been lucky enough to go on some of these international trips. And it is amazing how well the athletes are treated on these trips. So I've traveled to Singapore and Utah with the 36ers, and even they are small in comparison to an AFL club. And I was astounded when they went to the Philippines. They had a police escort. It's quite funny because these players would be being treated like absolute gods behind closed doors.
Just playing devil's advocate, it must be rough on some of the players because some of them have been away from their families for about 6 weeks. And I know it does sound like they're being really spoiled, but that would be a hard job, having to move away from your state and be stuck with the other players for 6 weeks.
Then again, I think that there's the argument. They're being paid huge salaries.
I know.
Everyone in Melbourne's fucking losing their jobs.
No, but I'm just saying, oh, they have a barista and they have this and that, but they kind of have to.
Okay. Kids. I've worked, as I said, in basketball, and we have American imports. They actually leave their family in the States for 6 months at a time and go and play in these different countries.
So I understand.
They're actually very lucky to be living in their home country.
I think
country.
They're also lucky to not lose their jobs and have money to support their families during this time.
I 100% agree, but I'm just saying that some of them would be doing the right thing and would be following the rules. And it would be quite scary leaving your kids and your wife during a pandemic.
My sympathy is quite small.
But we've just said all their families are now with them.
No, I know. But for a long period of time, they weren't. I'm just saying.
Let's get into some of the demands anyway. Amy, you can sit there and feel sorry for them maybe whilst we go through them. So one of the demands is that they expect the AFL to pay for their Coles online shopping that they make.
Why?
I have no idea. They've asked for babysitters. They've demanded spa treatments, softer mattresses, room renovations, and someone even requested a new puppy.
What? A new one?
A new puppy.
What happened to their old one?
I don't know. Well, I assume a puppy.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, as Amy was saying, like, we do have to take into consideration that these people have been forced out of their homes, but it does seem like they are enjoying a lot of luxuries that other people are not during the pandemic.
To be honest, I think if a lot of Melbournians were asked if they would rather quarantine in a beautiful hotel that was all expenses paid or stay at home with their family, they might be choosing the first option.
Well, it's quite interesting you talk about the WAGs because there have been quite a few breaches to the hubs that have been going on, and a lot of them do seem to involve players' girlfriends. So as Amy mentioned, Richmond players Trent Koch and his wife got him in trouble because she visited a day spa. And then there was the case of the Sydney Swans were fined $50,000 after Elijah Taylor's girlfriend breached strict quarantine rules. So basically, this is not in the Queensland hub, this is in Perth. She broke into the hub and spent some of the night with him. So an official actually found out that she was in the room, and she actually came out and said that it was so easy to get into the hub. She literally, there were no security guards. She just literally walked up and got into his room. And Elijah Taylor was subsequently suspended for the rest of the AFL season.
Well, I think it's quite disturbing because over the weekend, his ex-girlfriend, Lakhani Pierce, well, ex now, she's come out and made some rather serious allegations against him for alleged domestic violence on her social media platform. So I don't think things are looking good for Elijah at the moment. And it also brings in that disturbing element of how many people must be facing these sort of consequences when this lockdown is happening. You know, people are stuck inside, unable to get out of these situations.
Yeah, that's horrible. Well, getting back into the hub breaches, we also had some in Adelaide when Port Adelaide's players, Laddams and Houston, they got in trouble because they had some visitors to their house when they weren't allowed to. And finally, last week, we had two Richmond players, Sydney Stack and Callum Coleman-Jones, who were actually arrested in Surfers Paradise at 3 a.m. on Friday morning because they got into a fight outside of a strip club.
Did you know what was the most hilarious part of that story was the fact that they got in a fight and they'd stopped at a kebab shop and their kebab got ruined. So they came back in to get another one after the brawl.
Well, I think the thing that is most strange about this whole incident is that the club approved, or the AFL approved, for this club to have celebratory drinks for a teammate. So this was a sanctioned event. They were allowed to go out. So they had their
fun. Well, they weren't allowed to go out. The event was in the hub. So what they've done is they've gone back to their rooms after drunk, continued to drink, and then gone out in an Uber.
Yeah. I mean, they basically decided to break every rule that they've been told for the past 3 months they have to stick to.
And these are the two rookies. Like, this has completely destroyed their career. They got fined $75,000, which they have to pay themselves. So that's essentially divided by two. That's really a year's salary for rookie players.
Well, the saddest thing is that Nine News was reporting that because of this $75,000 fine, that now becomes part of Richmond's salary cap. So now it seems Richmond will have to lay off one of its staff members who had nothing to do with the incident.
That is a disgrace. After working in a club, like, I can't imagine how pissed off I would be if I lost my job because two of the players were out doing dumb stuff.
Why don't they lose their job?
Yeah, it does make me, well, because when you work at a club, you realize pretty quickly the players are the most important thing there.
Well, talking about players being the most important part of the club or treated in a different way to the staff, what about the WAGs? So if you've got some pretty interesting information about one of the girlfriends of one of the Melbourne players.
Yeah, well, just to set the scene in regards to who is allowed over to be with the players, AFL CEO Gillon McLachlan suggested that only married players and those who were in long-term relationships would be allowed to have their partners flown in, taking into consideration that they pay all of their expenses.
That's pretty fair. Like, when we used to have the MVP at the 36ers, we would only pay for players' partners. Like, they'd get a free ticket if they were long-term partners. Yeah. So that makes a lot of sense.
So according to the Herald Sun, a number of teams have stipulated that the players must have been in a relationship for at least 12 months for them to qualify for this sort of thing.
That'd be really interesting for those ones that have got like a few girls on the go that are like, you know, they might think, wow, I've been around for 12 months.
Is it exclusive for 12 months?
Yeah. Yeah, so they've got these rules in place. So what has been raising a few eyebrows is the fact that Hannah Orville, who is the sister of influencer and YouTuber Mitchell Orville, is in the hub at the moment. Now, she is actually an influencer in her own right. She has 259,000 followers and she is dating Melbourne player Cam Zahar. And the pair have been dating for only around 5 months, yet she is being allowed to quarantine in the hub. Now, she's been flown up there at the moment, so she's within this 2 weeks. She hasn't yet seen him, but the time that she will see him, there will only be one AFL game left. So, I mean, what is the point?
Wait a sec. So, 5 months. This pandemic's been going on for longer than 6 months.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's a good point. How did they even meet?
Well, I mean, I kind of question... I question whether she's just trying to get into Queensland because Mitchell and Chloe are also in Queensland, and her mum, Sharon, has now become a permanent citizen of resident of Queensland, so she can come in and see her grandchild while Angry Dad's back at home.
Well, I kind of feel like Hannah Orville's a bit of a liability to the AFL. You know, she's big on social media. She could easily post something that could put them in a bad light. Like, I think that they really need to start thinking about their image, because it just seems so ridiculous to me that there have been a number of breaches already, yet the Queensland government is allowing the AFL to basically make their own quarantine rules. They've said it themselves that, oh, they've got a COVID safe plan, so we're letting them operate so we can focus on things. Like, how dangerous is that?
Gosh, that just made me think, can you imagine, because Shani Grimmond is dating Tommy Bug, and Tommy Bug used to play for Melbourne. Can you imagine if Shani was in the hub?
Well, I mean, I think, as Kate said,
probably
it's
wouldn't
just
see any content.
Yeah,
anyway.
Actually, sorry. Yeah, that's right.
I think, okay, as Kate said, it could be quite damaging, or even more so damaging to the AFL, because, I mean, it was quite confusing, because I went to have a look at her page to have a suss of whether she was putting up any Insta stories. And someone in our community actually told me that Angry Dad is recording and doing Insta stories of all of her PR packages back in Melbourne for her. So there
what
is
a good dad.
I know, it's a nice dad. But yeah, so there is confusion. People are going to be making sure she's sticking to the rules. And I just feel for everyone in Melbourne at the moment, especially for, you know, on the weekend receiving the news that they'll be having another 2 weeks in complete stage 4 lockdown, and they're having to see this bullshit going on.
It is really embarrassing for Queensland, especially having it come out that, you know, the AFL is getting preferential treatment, and then following that a couple of days later, these two Richmond players out drunk at a nightclub. Like, you know, this is probably not really good for the Premier Anastasia's bloody campaign, is it?
But isn't it just such a disgusting reflection of society as well, that these people have a high-paying job, they have a job in this economic time, yet they can't even abide by the generous rules they've been given?
Oh, it's actually sickening. I mean, to be honest, the fact that the AFL was even allowed to go ahead with all this going on, it just shows what a bloody boys' club it is, and it actually disgusts me.
I'm sort of torn with the whole AFL season going ahead, because one, I think it is good for some people's mental health, the fact that the football is still on the television. And as Gil said, it is keeping a lot of people in jobs, but I think it also highlights just how unfair society is.
Yeah, but how can the AFL cries poor, yet they're pouring $3 million a week into these hubs?
Because imagine how many advertising dollars they're going to get for that AFL grand final. Everyone's going to be probably still at home in Melbourne watching it.
I mean, how come there are other big businesses that could be earning money that have got these rules against them? Like, it doesn't really seem fair.
It's just complete favoritism to the AFL, and it just shows how wrong the system is.
I doubt the government will be helping other smaller sports in the way that they've helped the AFL.
Oh, no way.
I tend to completely agree with you, Kate. I do not think the season should have gone ahead. I think it was a complete mistake to go ahead. It kind of sent the wrong message, particularly to the community in Victoria.
It's not the AFL's fault, but, you know, if the AFL is running, you kind of think, oh, well, things must be okay. Well, just to wrap this up, I found it very interesting to read a news article saying that Mad Monday is now banned. So for those who aren't footy fads, Mad Monday is the day when clubs celebrate the end of the season, which is usually a big piss up in costumes. So it's very big of them to cancel that celebration.
It's because they're so scared about what the players will do, because they know they can't control them.
Knowing athletes, they will have their own Mad Monday.
Yeah, it's going to go off.
We want to hear what your opinion is on the AFL Hub situation. So we'll be putting up a post in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community. We'd love to hear your thoughts. So you can jump on there and join in the conversation.
So we're just waiting for our taxi, and Michael literally just asked the best question. You know how he's like really good with geography and all of that good stuff? He's like, don't film this, but can I ask you a question? He said, are we like still in the world? Like that little blue ball, are we like there? And I'm like, well, yeah, Bali is in Earth.
Now let's get into our social snapshot segment. Now, to start us off, I'd have to say we were very, very wrong about Reese and London's baby situation last week.
That's Reese Hawkins, for anyone that doesn't know who Reese and London are. Yeah.
Yeah, so Reese Hawkins and his new fiance London announced that they were in fact pregnant. And in doing so, it was quite strange. London decided that she's not going to be sharing any baby bump updates on her Instagram. In fact, she's pushing fans to a new platform, which was OnlyFans.
Can you imagine growing up and realizing that your parents had announced that you were being born on OnlyFans?
Well, it's quite strange to share those sorts of updates on a platform that's quite renowned for porn. Mm-hmm. I mean, I did think, I wonder if this will be a new thing that people will start doing. I do recall Jacinta Franklin making her own app to share her updates, which I don't think was very popular.
Wow, that's next level, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So the funny thing is, though, after London and Reese made the announcement, people believe that Tammy Hembro was throwing shade. So Tammy's, of course, Reese Hawkins' ex and baby mother. So she was apparently...
Did you say baby mother or baby mama?
I kind of mumbled it. I wasn't sure if anyone noticed. Baby mama. So Tammy shared a video of herself miming to the song Pressure in My Palms, where the lyrics included, I hate a bitch who think a baby... I can't even like read the rest of it. But basically she hates her and I hate you ho. Was the lyrics of the song. There was another rude word that I didn't decide to read out.
We kind of delved into it when we did our discussion on Reese Hawkins about the fact that a lot of fans don't like her because she was leaving comments on Tammy Hembro's post years ago about her family saying, I love your little family.
That was so weird. How embarrassing. Well, Tammy also threw shade at Reese on Father's Day and she put a selfie of her and Saskia and wrote, Happy Father's Day to all the single mamas and boss bitches doing it all. And then London was quick to respond with a photo of Reese and Tammy and his two kids saying, best daddy. So it was quite interesting to see the back and forth on social media.
Well, moving on to Chloe Zepp, did anyone see the push present that Mitchell Orville bought her?
Well, it was really hard to miss the huge diamond blingy bracelet with a little A on it. It was beautiful.
I think all women should get a push present. I love this idea.
Well, I don't think men really even know what it is. I only really know what it is from Yummy Mummies. Because
I know from Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, so it's really, you know, those mega rich people and they usually get like a beautiful Porsche or something for their push present.
So is it normal? Because people go into our community and tell us if you've ever got a push present.
God, our mum should have got 3 push presents.
Wow, she should have got the whole jewellery shop. Well, she didn't actually... Do you still get it if you don't push them out?
Yeah. I think so.
Oh, for sure. What about the 9 months of carrying it and the horrendous cesarean?
Well, I'll put it out there to Brandon. If we ever have children together, I expect a push present.
Yeah, maybe not a diamond encrusted bracelet.
What would you accept, though?
I think a nice ring, like an eternity ring or something. Is that, or do you give that before you're married?
I just think something that's thoughtful.
Yeah, something thoughtful.
That you'll enjoy.
I think something, like I liked the fact that the bracelet had the little A for artists on it. I think if it was something, yeah, thoughtful and
sentimental,
yeah. Okay, there's another thing that I've been obsessed with looking at on my newsfeed this week, and it has to be Shani Grumman's lip.
Oh my God. I have been religiously checking her Insta story for the updates.
Religiously checking it?
Yes.
Yes, I have been too.
Because religiously.
Well, so I've never heard about how they actually, what is it called?
They dissolved her lips.
Yeah.
I've heard of it before.
I've heard of it, but I didn't know the reaction that happens when they do it. So basically.
Well, it was worse than when Skye Wheatley got her lips tattooed.
So basically her lips blew up even more. I couldn't believe it. She looked like a cartoon character.
Well, good on her for putting it online.
No, but that was the weirdest thing. So she put her lips completely blown up, looking weird after she'd got it on. But then she kept hiding her face once her lips had gone back to normal.
She was self-conscious.
I know, but
wouldn't you be self-conscious if they were blown up like a puffer fish?
I suppose. It's everyone, each to their own preference, but I think she looks so much better with them out.
She looks so much younger and normal.
And what's really interesting, though, is she was talking about how it was a bad injector that had injected them too high up above her lip.
I think what happened is that the filler migrated, so it wasn't actually put in properly.
Mm. Well, Shani has said that she is going to go and get her lips done again, but do you think that we're going to see more of a trend of influencers who are reversing their beauty procedures?
Well, we saw Lily Brown do it a couple of weeks ago on YouTube, but then of course she got it all redone. I don't know. I actually would have loved it. I know it's Shani's choice and, you know, it's her choice to make, but I would have loved it if she did keep her normal lips, her natural lips is the right word, because she looks really good. And I think it would be really nice for others to see her embrace something that she might not like about herself.
Well, the next story is about Sarah's Day's Father's Day gift to her partner, Kurt. And this was sent to us quite a number of times over the weekend.
I've got to say, I was scrolling through my newsfeed driving to Reese's dad's house and I literally went, oh my gosh, and turned it to him and Reese couldn't believe it. This is, of course, a photo of Kurt with his son, Fox, and the didgeridoo. Now,
so Ceci gave Kurt a didgeridoo for Father's Day, and this is off the back of all the controversy surrounding her White Fox activewear line drop, where she was accused of cultural appropriation.
Yeah, so after that happened, and I know we've discussed it in depth on the podcast, she vowed to educate herself on, you know, Indigenous matters as well as the Black Lives Matters movement. Unfortunately, it doesn't seem like she really has, because I looked at it and immediately thought, this is really offensive.
The thing that I thought when I saw it was, yes, I was shocked that they would put something up like that. I think they're very naive when it comes to these things. But at the same time, I don't think the intention was a nasty or negative one. I think the intention was, recently they have also been purchasing a lot of Aboriginal artwork, which she has been proudly showing on her Instagram account. And I think that she thought that she was somewhat celebrating Aboriginal art and music by giving this as a gift. But as many people pointed out, it wasn't actually sourced from an Aboriginal person. So I think that that's also...
How do they know where it was sourced?
I think she shared where it was sourced from. And Kurt also shared a post which was from an old ABC article reiterating the fact that other cultures can play the didgeridoo.
Except now, it was from 2013. It's not a new article. The most disappointing thing is the fact that there were lots of moderating going on in Kurt's comments, and he also apparently changed the caption, which previously didn't mention that he was proud and excited to be learning about Indigenous culture. I think also what people get fired up about is the fact, as I said, the comments get so moderated. So a lot of Indigenous people were actually explaining why this is culturally insensitive, but Kurt kept deleting the comments, which he and Sarah are quite renowned for doing.
As you both mentioned, I was shocked when I saw the picture, and I just thought, even though they presumably think that there's nothing wrong with what they're doing, and they think that, you know, they've researched it and in their minds they've gone, oh, this is great, we're celebrating Indigenous culture, the issue is, it just looks so wrong. And especially following their controversy, why would you post that picture?
But you say that they've educated themselves when they clearly haven't. They clearly haven't done the education, because if they had, they would know that not to do that.
But I think they thought that, oh, wow, we'll put up this photo of Kurt with the didgeridoo. And they seem to think that people would go, oh, you know.
It was very tokenistic, and that's the whole thing. I think if it had been educated properly.
Well, I think what this issue has highlighted, as well as the recent situation with Adele when she was accused of cultural appropriation for wearing a Jamaican outfit, I think it's really evident that so many people feel a different way about it. There were some Jamaican people that were really excited that Adele was wearing it and celebrating their culture, and they saw it as cultural appreciation, not cultural appropriation. So I think it's really interesting to take a look at how Aboriginal people are reacting to this. And it has caused a lot of Aboriginal people to jump online and say they aren't happy with it, while some have said, no, we're glad you're celebrating our culture. Yeah. So there's really a range of different emotions that this photo has brought about.
And I think it is important that we let Indigenous people and people of colour actually lead those conversations. It's not for us to decide if it's offensive. So as you said, it is interesting that there is not a set answer within those communities.
And the best thing is to just keep all of those comments in there so people can educate themselves by looking at the comments and going, oh, okay, so this person's for, this person's against the picture. And that's, I suppose, how change happens. And that's how people understand issues a lot better. But you can't be censoring the comments.
That's right. You can't be silencing those voices who are disagreeing with what you said, because it's all about educating ourselves.
So just a little change of pace. I'm not sure if this is going to be a completely new segment, but it's Where's Madison Woolley?
Yeah. And so our new segment is, where is Madison Woolley holidaying this week? And this week, she's holidaying in Thredbo.
And we did touch on it last week that Jonathan Sauer, her boyfriend, did ask his followers where they should stay in Thredbo. Now, this comes despite us criticising her tone-deaf behaviour to travel during the pandemic.
Well, to be fair, it is within New South Wales, which is allowed, so that's good.
But we'll keep you up to date if she pops up anywhere else next week.
She finds herself in the Gold Coast Hub or something like that.
You guys remember back in the day, those who perhaps are in their late 20s and 30s might remember a segment on Rove where they used to send, was it Peter Hellier and Carrie? They used to send them out. Oh, no, it was Corinne Grant. They used to send Corinne Grant out to Australia, and they'd have a little magnet of where she'd been. We should create one of Madison Woolley, all the different points of Australia that she visits.
On a little luxury, what's that place? Luxury pilot.
PR.
Yeah, that could sponsor it. That's a good idea. Might get in touch.
I think the most frequent, like, assumption I got was about, like, my parents and money and stuff like that. And a lot of people are really interested in that. And I'm just like, yo, that's so rude.
Let's get into the reality wrap. And we experienced our first love in lockdown on The Bachelor. And I, for one, actually really enjoyed it. What did you guys think?
Well, I personally love the fact that they had the cocktail party and the rose ceremony on Zoom and all the women still dressed up for it, which I thought was hilarious.
What about how Lockie had one rose, so he kept having to put it down and then re-picking it back up?
That's budget. That's budget Channel 10 food. What I really liked is I feel like so many young people at home could have related to the whole dating via Zoom or FaceTime situation.
Yeah, it is very relatable. And it was kind of weird to be a fly on the wall in that situation when he, I don't actually know the girl's name, but he took that blonde girl on the date in the bath. That was so awkward. And because he kept like being really sleazy and like he flashed his bum on there. There's a point, it was on Battery Funny. Someone screenshotted the screen and you can almost see like a floppy dick. But do you know what? It got me thinking. It was really weird because it's so obvious that the film crew are in the house filming all the interviews and the dates. So why can the film crew be there, but them not go on a date with Lockie? Like, it didn't really make sense.
Because they've got to be in their home state and you're only allowed one person over.
But couldn't they do a hub like they have for the AFL?
Oh, yeah, they should have had a bachelor hub. I was going to say, do you reckon because they're dating him on Zoom and FaceTime, he's less desirable?
Well, I feel like the fact that it was revealed that they can actually talk whenever they want to and have that contact via phone, I feel like that will build the relationship up stronger because, as you know, in the normal bachelor house, all of those things are taken from them.
Well, I think a lot of girls were crushed because there were some that hadn't even spoken to him at all. And the girls were like, oh, what? But like you've been hearing, and then one of the girls like, I hear from him every day. It did make me think about on the So Dramatic podcast, she said something about how the girls were pressured by the producers to sext Lockie. Mm. And it made me think that that definitely would have been the case. Like I was just getting some vibes from his interactions, especially on the bath date.
That, so is he just taking that one dick pic and then sending it to everyone? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I suppose he could do that. It's funny though, because it made me think like there's probably a lot of instances where guys and girls are texting multiple people during the pandemic, but the others just don't know about it. Whereas the other girls were like taking notes on how many times he texted and called.
Something funny that came out about Lockie this week is he was apparently having tantrums on set, and it was because he was so irritated and annoyed that all the girls that he didn't like kept coming up and interrupting conversations with the girls he wanted to spend more time with.
That would be annoying.
And he reportedly yelled at one of the producers to get them away from me and walked out of the cocktail party. He was then gone for several hours. And when he returned, he acted like nothing had happened.
How awkward if you were those girls. And he's like, just fuck off.
Well, he was criticized by a lot of the girls because apparently he wasn't dividing up his time fairly and would spend time with some and barely any time with others. But I mean, that's just dating, isn't it? Like, yeah, I wouldn't want to spend time with people I didn't like.
You would rather that than be strung along.
Now, Amy, to wrap us up, you've got a reality recommendation for everyone.
Yes, I have got a recommendation. It's on Netflix and it's called 21 Again, and it's set in the UK, and it's a reality show where a group of mothers get to rewind the time and become 21 again. So basically they have a huge makeover to see if they can trick people that they are 21, and their daughters help in the process, and it is so good.
I'm actually surprised. I saw a little bit of this. Amy fast forwarded and was showing us bits and they didn't look 21.
Well, the thing
they looked pretty good.
Really? I didn't think they did.
Okay, the thing that I thought was so bizarre was like, oh wow, the mums have had such a transformation because they're so old. One of the mums was 32, so a year older than us.
What, like a 21-year-old
and
daughter?
Had a, no, well, 16. That, most of the kids aren't actually 21, so that's a bit of a catch, but I thought the mums looked better than the daughters.
But I feel like a lot of people who listen to this will like it because they delve into the influencer lifestyle. So they make their mums become influencers and they introduce them to social media, and it's actually really funny. So I'd highly recommend it. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. If you did enjoy the podcast, we'd love if you could go and leave us a review because it really does help us out. And also if you could share a photo of where you're listening to this podcast from on your Insta story and tag us, we'd also love to see it.
And if you want to join in on the conversation, please join our Facebook community. It's Outspoken Podcast Community. And there's always chats going on in there, particularly about the episodes we've just dropped. We'll be right back.